Welcome to Ethics Audio from the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales. You're listening to the June 2008 podcast, an essential guide to auditor independence in the UK. In summary, an auditor's independence, objectivity, and integrity, whether actual or perceived, are fundamental to ensuring that the audit opinion on the financial statements is credible and trustworthy. Complying with recognised guidance in this area is not only a legal requirement, but will contribute to ensuring that the audit opinion is valuable. Users of financial statements rely on an audit opinion to give them confidence that the financial statements give a true and fair view of the results and position of the business. However, the whole point of the audit is that it's being carried out by someone who is independent of management and demonstrates objectivity and integrity. Without them, the audit opinion is worthless. So, how does the accountancy profession ensure that the auditor's opinion adds value? In the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland, the law requires the Institute and other accountancy bodies to apply auditor independence standards set not by the accountancy bodies themselves, but by the Independent Auditing Practices Board. The APB's ethical standards, which cover auditor independence, were first issued in December 2004 and were revised on the 4th of April 2008. Not much notice was given of the revision, as the revised standards apply to audits of accounting periods which commenced on or after the 6th of April 2008. The ethical standards are similar in appearance to auditing standards, in that they contain bold and grey text. The bold text sets out the basic principles and essential procedures, while the grey text provides explanatory and other material designed to assist interpreting the requirements. The APB has published 5 ethical standards, which cover different aspects of auditor independence for most clients. ES1 sets out the general approach and gives the key requirements relating to systems and procedures. ES2 covers financial, business, employment, and personal relationships. ES3 deals with long association with the audit clients. ES4 addresses fees, auditor remuneration policies, litigation, gifts and hospitality. And finally, ES5 sets out the requirements relating to non-audit services provided to audit clients. In addition, there is a 6th standard, which contains some alternative provisions and exemptions for firms auditing small entities. This is the Provisions Available for Small Entities, or PACE. The APB standards can be viewed or downloaded from the APB's website at frc.org.uk/APB/publications. Approach. The ethical standards, like the Institute's own code of ethics, adopt a principles-based approach. The spirit of these fundamental principles must always be complied with, rather than just the letter of the guidance. The basic requirement is that auditors must consider whether relationships or actions might constitute threats to adherence to the principles of integrity, objectivity, and independence. If they do, the auditors need to implement safeguards. Compliance with these principles may be threatened by a broad range of circumstances, which are analysed in the ethical standards into 6 categories. Self-interest threats, which may occur when the auditors have financial or other interests that might cause them to be reluctant to take a stand during the audit that would be adverse to their interests. Self-review threats, which may result when, in the course of the audit, the auditors may need to re-evaluate work they have performed in a non-audit capacity. Advocacy threats, which may arise when the auditors undertake work that involves supporting a position taken by management in an adversarial context. familiarity threats, which may occur when the auditors are predisposed to accept management's point of view as a result of close relationships. Intimidation threats, which may originate when the auditor's conduct is influenced by fear or threatening behaviour, for example, when an auditor encounters an aggressive and domineering individual. And finally, management threats, which may arise when the auditors take decisions on behalf of the management of the audited entity. Whether threats are significant or, as critically, would appear to be significant to a reasonable and informed third party, safeguards must be implemented, or the action or relationship at issue should not be undertaken. The ethical standards include some examples of possible safeguards. There is a further discussion of the threats and safeguards approach in the Institute's own Code of Ethics in Section 200, which is available at the ethics page of our website, icaew.com/ethics. Where there is a need for safeguards, the most effective safeguards generally tend to fall into one of two categories. Either the relevant individual whose independence is potentially compromised should not be involved in the work, or a review of the work, or at least key subjective elements of it, should be performed by someone whose independence is not compromised. Documentation. Audit is a regulated activity, and the audit working papers are always open to inspection and, in the worst case, may be needed for a legal defence. The audit engagement partner needs to ensure that all key elements of the audit process and significant independence judgments are documented. These will relate to identification and assessment of significant threats and corresponding safeguards, as well as communication of independence issues with those responsible for governance of the audit client. Key policies and procedures. The audit firm should establish and document policies and procedures to ensure that, in relation to each audit engagement, the audit firm and all those who are in a position to influence the conduct and outcome of the audit act with integrity, objectivity, and independence. These policies and procedures should be appropriately communicated to partners and staff in the audit firm. As well as the basic requirement to assess threats and apply safeguards, the ethical standards contain a set of specific rules which must be adhered to in all circumstances. These often amount to prohibitions of particular relationships and services. The audit firm's policies and procedures must ensure that individuals who can influence the audit have no financial interest in the client. The requirements in relation to business, employment, family, and other relationships, as well as the use of external consultants, are met. The length of time partners and senior staff serve on an audit is monitored, and specific requirements relating to partner rotation are adhered to. The strict limits for fee dependency rules for listed and unlisted clients are met, and the requirements relating to the provision of certain services to audit clients are complied with. In order to help meet these requirements, all but the smallest audit firms need to appoint an ethics partner who is responsible for the adequacy and communication of the firm's policies and procedures, as well as providing guidance to individual partners on ethical matters. If, on small audits, the audit firm takes advantage of certain provisions in the APB's PACE, known as the exemptions, the use of those exemptions should be referred to in the audit report. So, in conclusion, to make sure that you are not only independent, but seen to be independent, auditors should 1. Establish the general policies and procedures required by the ethical standards. 2. Assess and document potential circumstances leading to threats to integrity, objectivity, and independence. 3. If there are or would appear to be significant threats to those fundamental principles, apply and document safeguards. 4. Consider if there are any specific requirements in the ethical standards that should be applied and document their implementation. And finally, 5. Reassess the situation and the need for any further safeguards during the audit, particularly before sign-off. We hope this has been useful. Let us know by emailing ethicspolicy@icaew.com. For a full transcript and further resources, visit the Ethics page of our website. You've been listening to the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales podcast. This work is copyrighted.